Hey guys, welcome to the Next Level Agents podcast. I am your host, Kevin Kaufman, and along with my business partner and co-host, Fred Weaver, we bring to you our podcast all about getting to the next level. Sometimes we talk to real estate agents, sometimes brokers, sometimes people just in and around our space, and sometimes just entrepreneurs in general. But our point here is to talk to the brightest and the best and to pull gold nuggets out of them and bring them to you so that way you can take little actionable pieces of advice, sometimes big actionable pieces of advice, and make your business even better and help you get to the next level. Do me a favor, if you haven't already, go over to ratethispodcast.com. ratethispodcast.com/NLA stands for Next Level Agents. And please leave us a 5-star review if you have not already. All right, without further ado, welcome to today's episode.
Fantastic. Can we give another round of applause for Kevin and Fred for this amazing event? And also to all the silent folks. And what I mean by the silent folks are all the staff members, all the people in the background, everyone that we as speakers have been emailing, like Bree. Please give a round of applause to those folks, because all the details you see, man, they have been working tirelessly. So as Kevin mentioned, my name is Camille Rose Taylor, and I'm so honored and grateful to be with y'all today. So you're a very special group, and I'm saying this specifically because you are here at 4 p.m. on day two, and you could just be done. I know there's a lot of people who headed out to the bars, and I get it, other people have stuff to do, but there is a reason that you are here today, just like Kevin said. And I'm a really big believer that there is really no coincidence. Now, I know some people like coincidence, and they're like, oh, that just happens. But I've had so many experiences, not just in my own life, but as Kevin mentioned, I get the blessing and the opportunity to work with some of the highest performers in the real estate industry and other entrepreneurs on a psychology aspect. And I can tell you, from my daily conversations with some of these highest performers, by the way, I am the not-so-secret weapon to a lot of folks that you may know, but you'll never hear my name. And that's kind of two parts. Some people don't like mentioning. They have a quote-unquote business therapist. I'm not a licensed psychologist, but a peak performance coach for the past 10 years, and that's what I get to do with some of these high performers. And then for other folks, what we're talking about, like Kevin said, is I get to think about your thinking. And that is the big difference I see from what I call the high performers, from those who just have latent potential. How many of y'all here feel like you have a lot of potential inside of you and you have not even tapped into just that much of it? Truly, keep your hands up. So just look around. These are all the people just like you who feel like, I have so much more to give. Thank you. So then the question becomes, all right, Coach K, so that's kind of my nickname. I know what to do. I got all this information at this conference, this seminar, listen to this podcast, I read this book, I know this person, I go to this mastermind, I spend $30,000 a year on X, Y, and Z, and I'm still not doing it. How many of y'all have ever seen yourself do that? Yeah, and the phrase is this: I know what to do, but I don't know why I'm not doing it. How frustrating is that? That's where I come in. And I think, and I hope, that's why Kevin brought me here today, is because before you leave this room, you are in this elite special group. I don't want you to see these 2 days as good information, great strategy, great tactics, woohoo, dopamine hit, and then in 2 days, you go back to your normal cycle. My goal in today's talk is I want to show you how to truly get to what I call the next level mindset. Say it with me, next level mindset. I'm gonna show you the key mental shifts that you must make in order to get to that potential that you held up your hand to. And by the way, I know this really well because I've been in that same space. Before I was a coach, and just a little sort of background story to me, I started my coaching business about 10 years ago. Just so y'all know, I'm Filipina American, which means I will forever look anywhere between 18 to 26 years old until I'm 40. So, and then I turn 80 and I go into like turtle mode. So there's just like this gap of being Asian where I will always look young, okay? So if y'all are wondering, like, she's been coaching for 10 years, my age is approximately anywhere from 28 to 55 right now. So don't be fooled if you're like, oh, she's older than I thought. But realness, I am actually turning 38 this Saturday. So it's my birthday this Saturday. So I'm excited. Thanks. But in these 10 years of coaching, I will tell you that there are significant patterns in these folks. And as I mentioned, prior to coaching, I also went through this same journey. I go through it today. And my big, what I would call the defining moments, and I would write this down if you guys are taking notes, defining moments. Each one of you and every CEO that I work with understands and knows very clearly the defining moments in their life. Each one of you has significant inflection points in which it turned around for you. Somebody said something to you, you read a book, you heard something in a podcast, you went through the dark night of the soul, your heart was broken, you were in massive debt, you hit a big financial goal, you got married, you had a kid. There's a defining moment, and many of them, by the way, that turns it around for you. What if today there is a defining moment for you? And the reason I had you write it down is because I want you now to have this awareness and start paying attention to it. Because for every high performer I work with, there are patterns in their defining moments. Life, God, however you want to phrase it, is trying to show you the very thing you need, literally giving you your own bespoke ingredient to success. The question is, are you paying attention? Or are you banging your head up against the same wall over and over and over and then making a very generalized statement like, well, Camille, that's just how life is. That's just how business is. That's just how men are. That's just how women are. That's how those people are. By the way, if you ever catch yourself saying something like that, I want you to cut it off immediately. That is a loser mentality. There is no one that I work with who plays at a high level in all aspects of their life. I'm not just talking about financial success, but they are fulfilled. They are joy-filled. They have a strong spiritual life, great health, not perfect, but they're truly happy. No one at that level says generalized statements like that. Because they know it cuts off the possibility for something more. If I just say, that's just how money works, it's dangerous. Because what if there's another way that money works? And I'll give you an example. So I think there was a gentleman named Pace, was it, earlier today, right? And he was talking about how this is one of the most expensive times to live here in the United States. It's unaffordable almost to buy a house. So if he said, yeah, that's just how the market works, that's just how money works, it's tough, there's inflation, interest rates, he would not have the success he has today, because instead what he said is, well, what if money could work differently? What if there could be creative financing? What if there's another way for this person to get into the home that they want? What if there's another way for you to invest in this? These are the patterns that I want to show you today. Who's here to learn those patterns? Yeah? Cool. Let's go. Let's go. So in today's session, I am going to cover three critical mental shifts that you must make in order to get what I call next level performance. The second thing is the mental habits that are sabotaging your specific progress. Like I mentioned, we each have something that gets in the way of that question, why don't I do it? It was really beautiful. I sat in on the last half of Viha. I believe it's Viha. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. For her upper limit problem. Phenomenal, phenomenal talk. And somebody had mentioned there, you know, is it something that we really should find out the root cause for? And I loved what Viha said there. She said, well, it's different for everybody. Some people really need to understand the root cause. Other people just need to take action and move on. Wherever you are on that spectrum, just understand if you've ever hit your upper limit problem. I can't seem to get past this thing, coach. I can't seem to break through with my wife on this thing. I am talking about family because it's very much a part of your business, by the way. Your personal life impacts the professional. And I'll give an example of that a little later. You know, I can't seem to get past this thing, then understand there is a sabotaging pattern that's at play. For every high performer, again, they're clear on what that is. I was able to get clear on what that was for me. I cannot stand on this stage and talk to you today if I didn't find out what that was, and I'll tell you about my story in just a little bit. So it's important to me that we figure out what is your specific sabotaging progress pattern. And then the final one is defining who you are at the next level. It is never enough, and I can't stress this more than this moment, it is never enough to understand what to do or how to do it. It is never enough to know what to do or how to do it. Because at the crux of the strategy actually getting implemented, at the crux of the strategy actually being successful, behind every person that you respect and admire, like truly respect and admire, not just, oh yeah, he looks really financially successful, but he's a jerk, I don't like him. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about the person that you look at them and you're like, I really like them. Like, they're a good guy, they're a good woman. I can see the success that they created. That is rooted in them knowing very clearly who they are. And I would say for some of y'all, who you are not. And this definition we're gonna end with today is vital because the next level that you wanna get to, for those of you who rose your hand and said, hey, I got a bunch of potential and I wanna get to the next level, who you are there is different than who is sitting in this room today. Not in a bad way. Think of it this way. It's just a different volume of who you are. So if right now you're playing at volume 5, and volume 5 gets you volume 5 results, but you're trying to get to volume 8 and 9 and 10, well, then we have to redefine who you are as a father, who you are as a mother, who you are as a realtor, who you are as an entrepreneur, who you are as a business owner, who you are as an athlete, et cetera, at that level. So, let's begin. I want to start our day like this. Can I have somebody in the front row with a big booming voice? Can somebody raise their hand for me? Just anybody? Chris? Awesome. Round of applause for Chris right here, my volunteer. All right, Chris, you're going to have to read out loud this very long quote.
If you know your enemy and yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle.
Awesome. Beautiful voice. Round of applause for Chris. Thank you. So, Chris, when you read that, what do you take from it?
To thine own self.
What does that mean for you?
There are so many different battles that I'm going through in my own head all the time. Mm-hmm. And not having the clarity on each of them or what the next step is kind of just overwhelms me and burns me out through the entire war.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thank you for that, Chris. One more person. Just go ahead and raise your hand and speak it out. What came up for you as you read this? What does this mean to you? Yes. What's your name? Sherry, thank you, Sherry.
Your enemy can be yourself.
Your enemy can be yourself. Wow. How many of you guys can feel like sometimes you're the enemy to you? Yeah. Thank you. Real talk. So anything specific come up for you? You're like, yeah, your enemy can be yourself. Anything that comes up for you?
Well, even in like dreams, a lot of times you're the different people in the dreams.
Your actual dreams when you're sleeping? Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. So I want to start here and thank you for that, Sherry and Chris. I'm starting with this because it's not, again, enough for you to just understand the battle strategy of the enemy. You can write this down in your notes, the terrorists of the mind. One of my mentors is Tony Robbins, if any of you guys are familiar with him. And he recently spoke at one of his premier events. It's called UPW, Unleash the Power Within. If you've ever been, it's basically a four-day rave. So just be prepared for that. It is not your typical seminar. Any firewalkers in the room? Just curious. Has anybody done it? Okay, awesome. So you know what I'm talking about. So one of the phrases that he says, which I think is fascinating, is when people go, how do you just do it? Like, how do you get out there and play at this really high level? And he says, I don't negotiate with myself. I just don't. So when the terrorist of the mind shows up, and let's pretend that it is, right? Oh, you can't do this. You can't get up at 5 a.m. and do a workout. You're not going to be able to lose that weight. There's no way you could break all of that, debt ceiling that you're in. You can't crush through the next level in your real estate business. You can't do that email. You can't get that listing appointment. He just doesn't negotiate with it. literally tells himself, I don't negotiate with terrorists, and then goes and does the thing. So sometimes each one of us needs a phrase. You know what the terrorist of the mind is for you. We all have them. So the question is, are you negotiating with her? Are you saying like, okay, yeah, you kind of win. Yeah, you're right. I'm not good enough for this. Or yeah, okay, I guess I could never talk to those people. Or yeah, maybe I'm not a $1 million listing agent. Do you negotiate? And then start bringing down your value because somebody rejected you? Just because somebody didn't buy from you, just because somebody didn't say yes to you, just because somebody didn't enroll with you, doesn't diminish the value that you bring. So don't start diminishing your value then. Don't start discounting yourself because somebody didn't understand or appreciate what you brought. Now, I'm not without saying that there's strategy. Maybe you could get better at the sales, the communication, the tone, all of that, but your value isn't diminished. And I want to speak to somebody right now who's starting to doubt their value. You're wondering if you're even good enough to be in this room today. Who am I to sit here and talk about all these other $1 million listing agents, and I'm just sitting under $100,000 in debt right now, hoping that my bill will clear when it actually charges my card. And if you are in this place, there's a breakthrough moment for you that's on the precipice. If there's any pattern that I've seen with high performers, it's this. I want you to imagine business as a rocket ship. We're talking about next level. You're at the next level agent conference, right? Y'all are trying to ascend to this stratosphere of success. Well, what happens when a rocket starts to break through certain atmospheric pressures? Major turbulence. Oh, it's gonna shake. Anytime you are growing, progressing, pushing to the next level, it's going to feel, and pardon the expletive, but I'm using this intentionally, it's gonna feel like a shitstorm. It's gonna be crazy. You're gonna want to let go of the dials and the controls and be like, I can't handle this. Just like Chris was saying, there are too many battles. There's too much pressure. I can't do this. The market sucks. I'm going to let go. And I'm telling you right now, you're right there. That rocket ship you are on is about to get to the next level. Often I have seen the pattern of the turbulence hits most when you're pushing for growth. And the worst thing you could do right now is let go. And what does that mean? Don't start letting go of the dials on your business. Don't stop blinding yourself and be like, I don't want to look at the finances. I don't want to look at my situation. I don't want to admit to myself that I didn't do a good job. Now is the time to lean in and be like, all right, we got to hang through, because you might be 1 year, 2 years, or even 3 months away from one conversation that changes everything, from one relationship that opens a door. But the terrorist of the mind will get to you and be like, oh, but your bank account doesn't reflect your value. You're not that guy. You're not that girl. And that's why I want to start here. It is a war you're walking into every day. So we're going to start with one of the muscle building exercises I always do. So do me a favor now. Everybody stand up for me. Go ahead and put your pens down. Stand up. Shake your body out just a little bit. I did tell you, yes, Tony Robbins is my mentor, so you're going to have to move. I know it's uncomfortable. But can anybody guess, what does BIG stand for? So this is an acronym. Anybody take a guess? Anybody? BIG. Other than Notorious BIG, that is not what I'm talking about. But BIG, what do you think it stands for? Say that one more time. G might be growth. Okay, okay, good. I like the effort. One more guess. Believe in growth, okay? I do this every time, by the way, at a seminar because I want to create new acronyms. So I'm actually just R&Ding and getting ideas, so thank you for that. I might as well just put up all my business marketing up here and be like, hey, what do you guys think? But here's what I want you to do. So BIG is what we do is called Begin in Gratitude. Everything as a high performer must start here. So here's what I want you to do. You each are going to have about 2 minutes, and I want you to think right now, in this moment, what are you massively grateful for? So take a deep breath in. Breathe it out. Who or what is coming up in your mind? You can keep your eyes open. You can keep them closed. Who or what are you massively grateful for in this moment? Breathe it in. Breathe it out. And now, with the second minute, I want you to go around and talk to three people. I'm so sorry, introverts, but I'm making you uncomfortable. You're gonna go around, you got 1 minute, tell three people and share the thing you are massively grateful for. Go for it. Three people. Don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Just 1 minute. And have a seat, have a seat. High five the last person you spoke to and have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat. I usually have a hard time getting people to stand up. Now I can't get y'all to sit down. This is good. This is very good. I appreciate it. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Good work. High five the person next to you and say you're awesome. Yeah, yeah. That's what's up. That's what's up. So I'm sure you hear the gratitude stuff all the time, but it's one of my favorites because if you ever check out heartmath.org or the Heart Math Institute, they are doing some incredible studies on the science of the heart. And timeless wisdom has shown us how important our heart health is, not just from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional one. And one of my favorite studies in the Heart Math Institute is if you ever look at your EKGs, your heart waves, and you look at the brain waves, the EEGs, when the heart waves and the brain waves are in total alignment, so if someone's heart waves and their brain waves are essentially flowing at the same rate, same peaks and valleys, the body goes into this incredible state of high performance, healing, movements, and energy. It actually goes into optimal healing mode. So what does that mean? Essentially, when your thoughts, your emotions, and then what you do are in alignment, you all hear this all the time, integrity, coming from the Latin word integer, meaning one. When you are literally in one accord, you are the most powerful. You are the strongest you could be. You're in peak performance. Hence why I'm a peak performance coach. So this go big exercise, while seemingly insignificant, it actually creates a physiological change in your body in which for a single moment when you are focusing on gratitude, your heart waves, and I'm having you visualize it in your mind, your brain waves, you start to come into alignment. So I give you this go big exercise because the next time you are feeling so frustrated, so scarce, so annoyed, feeling like I have no idea how I'm gonna get through this next situation, step away completely from what you were doing, step away completely from your phone, take a deep breath and just ask, what am I massively grateful for right now? Going big does one major thing. Understand that you cannot be fearful and grateful at the exact same time. It cannot happen simultaneously. The brain does not have capacity for it. Now remember, fear is good. The brain needs it, your survival mind, in order for you to stay alive. So we appreciate it for that. But if you're driven by fear, it's very dangerous, as most of y'all know. You're in survival mode, you're never in thriving mode. You're always in fight or flight, this constant state of defending yourself and really tense moments, but you can never get into that rest and digest system, which is called the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's why when I have you do the deep breathing, that is scientifically proven the fastest and only way to move you from sympathetic, fight or flight, to parasympathetic, rest and digest. So that's why you want a quick out from frustration, take a deep breath, and then think of, write down, share with someone. The reason I have you share, by the way, is because joy expressed is magnified. As humans, we need to share things. And it magnifies the experience. This talk could be very fun and effective in a solo room, meaning if nobody was here, but it would be boring for me. There's no magnification. But all of a sudden, it's amplified with your energy. It's amplified here. Imagine if the first time somebody ran the 4-minute mile, it was by himself, without an Olympic crowd, just alone on a track. Like, okay, I did it. Yeah, that's exciting for him. But now add hundreds of thousands of people, the entire world watching you, and then you break the 4-minute mark on a mile. Like, how much more exciting is that? Because we need to magnify our joy. So that's why we do this. And I want to give you this. If you take nothing else away from my talk today, let this be the new tool you bring into 2024. How can you live in massive gratitude? And by the way, this is not, again, some cute little thing. Every high performer I work with is positioned for this. Because when you position your heart and your mind for gratitude, you open up your visuals to possibility, to opportunity, to creativity. The people that you see who innovate, they're not innovating because they're so cynical. And we're actually going to talk about that. They're innovating because they're excited for the possibility. They see abundance where everybody else sees scarcity. So remember this. The next level that you're about to embark on, remember what I told you? You're only 1 month, 1 year, 2 years away from that $1 million, $1 billion valuation, whatever it is. It's not going to happen by default. We all have a default setting, by the way. That's that sabotaging pattern I was telling you about. Your default setting came from childhood to adulthood to wherever you are today in your hood, whatever part of that spectrum that you're in. It is accomplished by design. How many of you here like control? Just curious. Yeah, all of y'all entrepreneurs should be raising your hand. The reason you're an entrepreneur, and I hate to break it to you, is because you're so unemployable. Like just nobody wants to work with you because you keep wanting to do things your way. You want to show up when you want to show up. You want your freedom of time and schedule and income. And I mean that respectfully because I'm also very unemployable. I realize I suck having a boss. I am not good at it at all. But with that said, control, while it's also gotten you to the place that you are today as an entrepreneur, wanting the freedoms that you have and creating the schedule that you desire, it can also be limiting. And so what is it that the high performers are doing differently? They've shifted from just control, because there's lots of things you can't control. I talk to Kevin about that all the time. There's lots he can't control. And if you focus on that, you shoot yourself in the foot. But they do things intentionally. That's the shift. Intentionally is still a form of control, because I'm controlling the one thing I do have control over, and that's me. I control my choices on a day-to-day basis, what we call by design. So on your sheet of paper right now, I want you to write in big, bold letters, life by design. Life by design. Oh, so cute. I have a 1-year-old at home, so I just heard the baby cry. My mama instincts kicked in. Life by design. Everything you do needs to be by design. So let's talk about what this design is. When I work with high performers, there is a very small difference between them and quote-unquote everybody else. I call it the 2-millimeter shift. The idea here is that the smallest changes can yield the biggest results. On the surface, they don't look like they're doing anything different than you. You watch them at a seminar, you hear them on a podcast, you try to emulate what they're doing, maybe even what they're wearing. And sometimes we ask the questions like, what are you eating, man? What kind of workout do you do? What kind of books are you reading? And we do all the external stuff, hoping that, well, if I just do what they do, if I eat what they eat, if I go to the places they go, I become them. But the better question I would ask you to instead inquire of them is this: how are you thinking about that situation? How do you see that particular product, problem, or solution? Get into the stuff that you can't see from them, which is how they think. That's the 2-millimeter shift. As I mentioned, I have the blessing of being in everyday conversations with these high performers, and this is the pattern I see. Their thinking is just 2 millimeters different than everybody else's, but it makes the biggest difference. The picture here is a golfer. If any of y'all golf, I just picked up golf like in the pandemic, so I've never golfed before. I'm a basketball girl. You're actually going to see that later because I have a basketball slide on here. But basketball is my first sport. I'm all of 5'2", so I wasn't dunking. I was a point guard, but it was still my sport. And with that sort of a sport, you kind of just muscle through things. Like, basketball is definitely a skill, but I could compensate if I could just ram the boards or if I could go up for a layup and I could just kind of muscle my way through. Well, when I picked up golf, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, I'm an athlete. I got this. I'll just muscle my way through this. I'll just follow what everybody else is doing, and I could do this. So I live in Pasadena, California. I went to a driving range out there, and I'm at the driving range, and the majority of people to my right and my left are 80-year-old Korean women. And I'm like, oh, I must be at, like, the senior range. Okay, I don't want to embarrass nobody, but I got this. Let me, coming in with my Lululemon leggings, thinking I'm all athletic, and I got my clubs. And remind you, this is like the second or third time I've golfed. And so I go and I muscle my way through. And as you know, if you're a golfer, that stuff does not work. I was missing the ball. It was going left, right. I was so embarrassed. I was hacking away at this thing. I was like, oh, I need a bigger club. That's the issue. It's the wrong iron. It's the wrong club. And I looked to my left and my right, and these 80-year-old women, so graceful, using the lightest club, and just like, click. And then she's knocking out 200 yards. And I'm looking at her like, she didn't even swing hard. How is that even possible? I was like, she's got like a motorized club. Like, that's it. She's got a secret club I don't know about. But the truth is, her form was on point. And she had been practicing that form for years. And it was just tiny shifts, right? Her shoulder dropped a little bit more than mine. Her elbow was a little bit straighter than mine. She stood differently. And it didn't require a ton of effort, but by the time she swung, it was beautiful. And the ball went straight down the fairway. And so that's what this is. There is something you are doing. I'm telling you, it's not a big shift. It's just a little drop here, a little way you're thinking. That's gonna set the trajectory of your business, your marriage, your life, everything in a whole new level. So let me show you the three shifts you must make. The first one, complaint and cynicism. We talked about this already. Another one of my coaches is very high-level performance coach. Some of you may have heard of Brendon Burchard. Anybody familiar with Brendon? Yeah, yeah, great guy. He was in LA recently, and he talked a lot about this because he was talking about the wealth mindset. And I appreciated what he said. He said, the highest form of mental poverty is complaints and cynicism. In his studies of over 20 years now, because he does studies with Harvard and Stanford, and if you ever read his book, High Performance Habits, it's really good. Complaints and cynicism are practiced poverty thoughts. So even if you're not somebody who is considered impoverished, if you notice you have mental thoughts like this, you put yourself in mental poverty. So the idea is, don't be surprised if you complain a lot and you also have a very low bank account. It's an interesting correlation. People who tend to complain and are very cynical have a high level of distrust. And I'm not knocking on you for it, because maybe that came from somewhere. Maybe you grew up in a household or an environment where you couldn't trust people. You've gotten burned a lot. You've gotten taken advantage of a lot. So it is a survival mechanism. But the danger is, now you make those generalized statements. Ugh, all these people are like that. All those on the Republican side, all those on the Democratic side, all those in Arizona, all those from LA. Remember how we talked about those generalized statements? No high performer. No high performer I work with talks like that, ever. So what is the 2-millimeter shift? It's small, but it's significant. And it's curiosity and possibility. I would write these two words, huge letters, circle it. So the next time you go to Target, the grocery store, you're driving on the freeway and you want to yell out a complaint. What the F? Why are these people like that? Right? I get it. It's a natural thing. I want you to catch yourself and go into, what would being curious look like instead? So here's a really silly example of how I practice this mentally for myself. As I said, I live in Pasadena, California, which is essentially LA. I absolutely detest driving from Pasadena to anywhere in what we call the West Side, Santa Monica, Beverly Hills. It sucks. It's the worst. LA traffic is bad. So road rage is really intense out there. And so you always get, I don't want to say the actual term, but basically these little cars, like little Hondas or Toyotas, they soup them up and then they race on the freeway, and it's so annoying, and they cut you off, and it's super dangerous, right? So of course, I want to shake my fist and be like, ah! But now, instead of complaining, every time I see somebody driving like a maniac, I go, oh man, they must really have to go poo. Or wow, she's delivering a baby for sure. Like, she's got to get to the hospital. And the sillier, the better. Like, whatever you have to tell yourself, because it's a brain trick. It's often used in NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming. The more you can scramble your thoughts, what it does is I reserve the energy, by the way, that goes towards complaints into high-level service. Every time I complain, I give my energy away, and that energy could be going to high-level service towards my family, towards myself, towards my God, towards you all, towards my business. So why am I going to give it to somebody else that doesn't deserve it, that has done nothing to earn that, when I've worked so hard? I would write this statement down, and this is something I tell to every CEO I work with. Peak performance is about the preservation of energy. Peak performance is about the preservation of energy. All I'm looking for is where you are leaking energy unnecessarily. You're giving away your power. And over time, that compounding effect of you complaining a little here, being a little cynical there, you don't think it's a big deal. That's just how everybody is. Are you trying to be like everybody else? Are you trying to be like the majority? Then you're not a high performer. In fact, the studies have shown high performers really only account for about 10 to 15% of the population worldwide. That's not that big of a group. But if you're in this room, you are likely one of them. So, curiosity and possibility, the second shift. Oh, and I wanted to just give this to you, and I like this by Albert Einstein. I have no special talent. I am only passionately curious. The ability to always wonder what can be, what if, is essential. Shift number two, obtainable too. So what do I mean by obtainable? How many of you have ever seen something, been sold something, and you're like, oh, I can do that. I can totally do all of those things. I can do 75 hard. I can lose 50 pounds in 3 days. Totally obtainable. I can run a marathon in 1 month that I've never run a marathon before. I can make that happen. And it's obtainable. You probably could lose 30 pounds in a month. You're going to starve yourself. You're going to hate your diet. You could do it, but then what's going to happen the next month? It's probably going to go back to your same routine. So just because you can do it, it doesn't mean you should. This is a very fine line. Remember I said these are all 2-millimeter shifts. You're like, wait, Coach K, but isn't everything possible for a high performer? Yes, but not all at once. It requires different skill levels. It requires a long game approach. And it's very dangerous when all you're doing is the obtainable all the time. I can do it, so I will do it. But the one question that they are asking themselves and the thing they're looking at the most is this instead. Is it sustainable? Obtainable versus sustainable. Is the way you are currently running your business truly sustainable over the next 5 to 10 years? Can you see yourself doing this grind for the next 5 years in this exact way that you're currently doing it? Absolutely not, Coach K. That's why I'm trying to do this and trying to do this. Great. And as you're doing this and doing that, asking yourself, is that truly in alignment with the values that I care about? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you after this slide, a set of questions that I want you to take a picture of it, take it home, because I want to honor your time. But just remember that this thing you are in is a marathon. An actual marathon is what you're running, and that's what they see. They see the long game. That's why they're willing to say no to something, because that most people will be like, oh, yes, we got to do that now, and they're like, nope, because that's not part of the long game yet. That is a big difference. So here are the questions that I'm going to leave up here just for a little bit. Take a picture of it. This is your homework tonight, a little bit of coaching homework for you. And I truly, before you leave, set a timer on your phone for 20 minutes. You don't have to do more than 20 minutes. And I really want you to sit down and answer these questions. If you've came with a partner, each of you do it separately. Go to your own corners in the hotel room, go to a different part, go to a coffee shop, and then share your answers with one another afterwards. This is vital that you start thinking about this. When I'm working with Kevin, honestly, we're just thinking about his thinking. He tells me what's going on in his head, then I ask him more questions. And more questions, and more questions. And it's ironic because you'd think, oh man, so you guys are talking 60 minutes on questions? No, I'd say half of that time, there's a lot of silence because he's thinking. And he's like, oh, I never thought of it that way before. And that's the curiosity and possibility. What I'm helping him do and what I help every high performer do is build the mental muscles that get you to think this way habitually. Right now it's hard because like, oh, really? I just want to go to the restaurant and have a beer. I'm tired. I don't need another strategy, Coach K. I've heard this in a podcast before. I don't care if you've heard it. I don't care if you know it. I want to know if you've mastered it. Have you truly mastered it? All of us can say, oh yeah, I've heard the gratitude thing before. Does your life truly overflow with it? Can you see it? Can you hear it in your language? Do you see it in your face? When you're dealing with tough situations, does gratitude flow out of you and you're like, oh, I deal with this person with loving kindness and patience? Or are you still snapping at them and wanting to chop their head off immediately? Then we haven't mastered it yet. And that's okay. It's good to suck. I said that, yes, it's not popular in the self-development world. I don't like it because I'm a recovering perfectionist, but it's very good to suck. Why? Because if you suck right now, that means you just have not developed the skill set yet to be good at it, which means you get an opportunity to. If you suck at something, that means you're willing to grow. You're trying. If you're always good at stuff, I'm gonna wanna knock you down a little bit because that means you haven't grown in a while. You're too good at it. We gotta get you to kind of be bad at something. So that tells me, okay, he's growing. He's learning something new. She's learning something new because she's not good at it yet. That's the person you wanna admire. The one who's struggling to figure out something new because that means they're pushing themselves to the next level. You can't be an expert already at the next level. It means you're not going to another level. You're just going to a different version of the same thing. Does that make sense? Y'all still following me? Okay, cool. So that last question is called, who is in your success squad? So this is a picture. Some of y'all should know this, but if you don't, yes, yes. So as I mentioned, I'm a basketball girl, but I'm also a 90s kid. So even though I'm from LA, I'm sorry, Kevin, I was a Bulls fan from like the early 90s to the late 90s. But I'm also a Lakers fan because I do love me some Phil Jackson. But this is a picture of Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and this is part of their success squad, one of the most winningest NBA teams of all time. And arguably, I would say Michael Jordan, the GOAT. I know there's a lot of LeBron fans in here, maybe, I don't know. But exactly. I'm an MJ fan. I'm a Michael Jordan and a Kobe Bryant fan. So Michael Jordan is a great player just in general. But he doesn't get to carry that without everybody else around him. This is a success squad. Every single person who is a high performer has a success squad that I bet you don't even know about. For some of you, this is the first time you've even heard of me. I get the privilege and the honor of being part of Kevin's success squad. So there are hidden people in people's success squad. The question is, who is in yours? You may have heard it said, Jim Rohn talks about the top five people you spend the most time with, you start to become the average of them. Remember when we started this with by design? I need you to start designing a better starting five. You have to design a better starting five. Your default five will not get you to the next level. There is somebody, certain people, that yes, you're gonna have to invest time, money, energy. You're gonna have to put your ego aside, your pride aside a little bit and be like, okay, I don't understand this as well as I thought I did. Teach me, help me, support me. That's how you become some of the winningest people on the planet. No matter how talented you are, you don't get there alone. There's the old proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. All right, the last shift. And this is the last 2-millimeter shift that I want to give you, avoiding pain. How many of you, show of hands, avoid pain like the plague? Like you're being real, your motivating factor, I don't like pain. Wow, most of y'all are a glutton for punishment. Okay, I see you. You guys run towards pain. That's good, that's good. But I would argue, there is psychological and emotional pain that you actually do run from. Because if there are things in your life that you don't want to admit, if there are moments right now, bless you, where you don't want to open up to that honest truth about yourself, that's avoiding pain. You say, oh, but I'm good at like leaning into the pain of work, leaning into the pain of the workout. But are you truly open and vulnerable with your closest partner? If not, that's us avoiding pain. Nothing wrong with it, but it's part of our human nature. The 2-millimeter shift that you have to make is you have to prepare for the pain. This is not popular in self-development and psychology, especially pop psychology that you see on TikTok or the motivational pieces on Instagram. And it's probably why I don't do very well on those platforms, is because I'm willing to tell the truth about certain things, even if it is unpopular, because I care more about your honest, holistic success than I do about getting more followers. And the truth is, you have to get into a mindset where I'm preparing for pain. Every next level of growth, and I don't say this to be sadistic or to say that all of life is suffering and pain, but it's true. If you are going to another level, it's gonna be painful. There's stuff that you're gonna have to do that you don't wanna do. There's work that you're gonna have to do that you don't wanna have to do. It's temporary, but notice the first word. What is the first word in this phrase that y'all see? This is part of it. They prepare and they train for the pain. Another way I like to look at this is they anticipate it. So the next time you look at something and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that, I want to avoid the pain, what would it look like for you to be a high performer that leans in and is like, okay, if we're going to do this, I'm going to get this program, I'm going to buy this software, I'm going to sign up for this new lead gen system, because they all promise me the moon and the stars, but remember, it's not the system. It's not the software that you just bought. It's not even if you get Sphere Rocket, you still have to do the work. You still have to be the leader of the VAs. You still have to set up the strategy. That's pain. And this is where we lose 90% of people, by the way. All of y'all are gonna get a crazy good dopamine hit from this event. That's pleasure. That's why we go to seminars. That's why we go to masterminds. We like it. We're talking to people. We're high-fiving. Yeah, this is possible. Oh my gosh, this. So cool, right? The dopamine hit. And then what happens? The drop. And there's one of two camps you're going to fall into today, and I want you to decide which one you're going to play for. The first one is, when the pleasure goes away, that's it. Then you look for the next pleasure hit. That's what we call seminar junkies. Or I'm going to go to the next podcast, I'm going to go to the next book, whatever's going to make me feel good, because the worst part in this psychology is when dopamine hits your brain, it often can give you the misconception that you actually accomplished something. That's why a lot of people don't take action after they listen to the podcast or they buy the course or they read the book, because they're almost convinced, well, I did something, I learned something. But here's the difference maker in the second camp. After the seminar, if you go, all right, now I'm ready for the pain of action, because every action requires a little bit of discomfort. Even at the beginning of this, when I had y'all stand up, I could literally hear aches and groans and pains. Everybody stood up and was like, oh, okay, and then it took a minute, right? It's painful, and I get it. You're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, wherever you're at, and it gets a little bit harder to stand up out of a chair, but that's the pain that I want you to lean into. This is going to be the difference maker, is if you can anticipate, yes, it's going to be a little painful, but not for very long. That's where you start getting set apart. So after today, you're asking the question, am I willing to take on the pain of action to move me forward? What is the one thing I need to do after today in order to move me to the next level? And this is one of my favorites from Bruce Lee. Pain will leave you once it has finished teaching you. There is something that this thing is teaching you. The pain of procrastination, the thing you're avoiding, the conversation you're avoiding, the thing you don't want to invest in yet, the phone call you want to make, that pain, I promise you, will go away once you learned the lesson. And poor Kevin, that's all we're talking about, is the places where he's hurting. And I'm like, really, that bothers you? Tell me why it's bothering you. And then we dig and dig and dig and dig. And then once he finally gets to a place of, oh, that thing doesn't hurt anymore. Like, I get it. I'm like, perfect. You learned the lesson. Next level. We can go. But what a gift. What if you saw pain, to a certain degree, as a gift? That's the 2-millimeter shift that's going to set you apart, again, from everybody else, is you're willing to endure the pain. All right, so to recap, take a picture of this, because this will just be a good summary for you to have on your phone. When you get into complaint, jump into curiosity. When you're only focused on, I can do this, I might as well, it's obtainable, ask yourself, is it truly sustainable? And when I catch myself wanting to avoid the pain of action, avoid the pain of doing this, avoid the pain of XYZ, anticipate it. What are the things I need to do? What are the things I need to learn to prepare for it? All right, the last piece, defining who you must become to achieve the next level. So as we wrap up here, and I'm gonna make this fast because I wanna honor your time. Everybody stand up one more time for me. Grab your notebook this time. So you're gonna need your notebook and your pen for this one. And we're gonna move as you do this exercise because this, you literally will have to change mental positions and physical positions for this to work. So if I could have, what's your name? Justin, can I have you read this for me real loud and bold? Yep. Thank you, Justin. Keep standing.
To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. So here's what I want you to do. You're going to define this. Right now, I want you to walk to a different part of the room. You've got 20 seconds. Go for it. I don't care where it is. Just go to a different part. 20 seconds. Move. Bring your notebook. Bring your pen. 15 seconds, find your spot and just post up. It could be a desk, it could be a chair, it could be on the stage. 10 seconds, plant yourself. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Awesome. All right, now you have 60 seconds. I want you to fill in this blank for me. In order for me to take it to the next level in 2024, I must become a man, woman, person, who is blank? What is that adjective? 60 seconds, go. In order for me to take it to the next level in 2024, I must become a man who is courageous, relentless, focused, consistent. In order for me to take it to the next level in 2024, I must become a woman who does not take no for an answer, who will stand up for myself, who has boundaries and upholds them. In order for me to take it to the next level in 2024, I must become a person who has massive integrity and always does what I say I'm going to do. 10 seconds left. What verb, what adjective resonates with you the most? Write as many as you'd like. Think about it, feel it. But the most important part is it has to resonate with you. 5 more seconds, finish up your thoughts. 3, 2, 1. Awesome, high five 5 people real quick. Go for it, high five 5 people. Yes, all right. 4, I love it. All right, mic on please. Mic check. All right. All right, so next step here. Keep standing, keep standing, keep being in a bit different part of the room. Don't go back to your chair yet. Keep holding your notebook, keep standing, we're not done. What part of you must die so that an even greater part of you can emerge? This isn't the question, this is what I want you to think about, but here is what you're gonna fill out. Wherever you're standing, fill this out for me. You have 90 seconds for this one. I must let go of my practice, habit, story of blank. What is a practice, story, or a habit that is not in alignment with this person you are becoming? The next level of you cannot uphold this practice, habit, or story that you currently keep. And the second part of this that you're gonna fill out is because if I don't let go of this, then who will suffer? And I want you to write down their name. Is it your entire family? Is it your son? Is it your daughter? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your best friend? Is it your entire team? Understand that when you choose to let this debilitating terrorist of the mind constantly play out, there's somebody that suffers in your life. 60 more seconds. The reason I'm doing this so quickly is because this is a top-of-mind exercise. Many of you are so practiced in analysis paralysis, this is not the time for it. This is one of those gut instinct, oh, whoa, Coach K, I didn't know I had this issue. Great, that's what we're getting out. 30 more seconds, write it down. What is the thing you have to let go of that can't follow courage, that can't follow consistency, that can't follow focus, that can't follow integrity? What is it? 20 more seconds. 10 more seconds. And if you're done, I want you to really think about this person that is going to suffer if you don't take action, if you're not willing to make a different choice. All right. You know the drill. High five, five more people, and we got one more thing. High five, five more people. And when you're done, I want you to go back to your seats. You can go back to your seats on this one. You can go back to your seats on this one. Real quick, Kevin, are you in the back of the room or in the back of the stage? Anybody? You can go back to your seats on this one. I got one more for you. Kevin or Fred. I just want to... Can I get five more minutes? Is that okay? Okay, cool. All right. Now, the last thing I want you to write, and this is imperative. Oops, sorry. I am blank. What is the word that you wrote down for 2024? Make this the biggest statement that you write in your notebook. So if you put, I am courageous, I am a woman of integrity, I am a man of focus, what was that thing you wrote at the beginning that resonated with you the most? And I want you to write this big and bold in your notebook. I am blank. I am blank. And I want to give 10 people, 10 very, very bold people, courageous people, an opportunity right now. I want you to stand up if you are willing to share with us your new I am statement. You're just going to stand up, and I need 10. I will wait until I see 10 people standing. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Good. Perfect. Stay standing. Awesome. Give all of these people a round of applause because it's not easy to do this. So we're going to start from the left. We're going to go to the right. And I just want you, however you want to say it, I am blank. Tell us who you are now. Oh, I like that. Go ahead, my dear.
I am consistent.
Awesome. Round of applause for I am consistent. Thank you, girl.
I am authentic and disciplined.
I am authentic and disciplined. Round of applause for him, please. Go ahead.
I am executing.
I am executing. Yes. Who are you? Who else is executing? In 2024. Awesome. Yes.
I'm unstoppable.
I am unstoppable. Round of applause for her. Thank you, girl.
I am accountable.
I am accountable. Round of applause for I am accountable.
I am worth it.
I am worth it. Yes. I feel that one. Thank you. Thank you.
I am a man who acts in alignment with my values.
I am a man who acts in alignment with my values. Round of applause. Thank you, sir.
Yes. I am the difference.
I am the difference. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
I am persistent.
I am persistent. Very good. That is why, by the way, my husband is my husband today, because he's very persistent with me. Yes.
I'm committed.
I am committed. Awesome. Awesome. One more time. I am intentional. Right there. Awesome. Awesome. Is there anyone else that I missed out on? Yes, sir.
I am open, loving, and courageous.
I am open, loving, courageous. I love it. I love it. Yes.
I am accountable and passionate.
I am accountable and passionate. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We got another one. Let's go.
I am love.
I am love. Yes. Yes. And I want you to know right now, for all these people who stood up, even if you didn't stand up, or you're looking at this and you're like, that is corny as hell, Camille. Yikes. I want to challenge you, because that thing you think is corny, that thing that you think is not whatever, that's not really going to do anything to get me to the next level, scientifically, and I will leave you with this, if you don't shift your identity, you do not change your habits, you will not change your results. This is how most people think. Well, if I change the result, if I just make more money, that means I could have better habits because I can hire a trainer and do all of this, then I'll be more confident. But I have to make the money first before I become confident. And what science has proven, and psychology has proven, it is the other way around. You have to shift who you believe you are first. When you change who you believe you are, if you truly believe, I am a man of integrity, I am accountable, you start to change how you walk, the habits you have on a daily basis. And guess what happens after time if you change your habits and your processes? You inevitably change your outcomes. So I leave you with this. This is your next level. Who you decided to be today, I pray that this was a defining moment for many of you. And that's all I got for y'all today. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're looking for even more valuable content and resources to help you grow your business, then we invite you to join our community, Next Level Agents at eXp Realty. By joining us, you'll gain access to exclusive benefits like live trainings, events, masterminds, weekly Zooms, digital downloads, and so much more, all designed to help you grow your business. To learn more and become a part of our community, simply visit kevinandfred.com/contact and get in touch with us today. Of course, if you're not quite ready to take the plunge and join our community, that's no problem at all. You can still access all of our great content for free right here on this podcast. And again, we thank you for listening. We look forward to continuing to bring you valuable insights and more advice in the future.